So, why don't we get going? Since you're the nearest to me, Cindy Price, go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I am Cindy Price, and thank you, Astoria University Women, the Maritime Museum, the Daily Astorian, Coast Community Radio, and all of you for being here tonight. As a child, I had two big dreams. One was to marry Paul McCartney, and the other was to live in a big house surrounded by water for a very long time. So imagine my delight when the man I married many years later brought me here to Astoria. So that was in 1995, and since then I've lived in an old house on a hill surrounded by water, and I've lived there for at least twice as long as I've ever lived anywhere. There's much to be grateful for here in Astoria for the public and private efforts that have brought us to days in which we think of Astoria as hip. Many important projects are already in the works for a new city council to deal with, everything from the grace of Heritage Square to the utility of the CSO project. And I'll be shepherding those projects with fiscal responsibility, with thinking about what it is you want from these things. I'll work to ensure full transparency and accountability in city government, from policies and procedures that make for clarity, to having regular constituency meetings, and by making full use of our wonderful media here, from the Daily Astoria to social media and the internet. I'll strengthen the connections between commerce, community, and art by supporting city participation in grants and private initiatives that can keep our artists working downtown, where they've done so much to create the Astoria that we live in now. I'll work to protect the vulnerable by prosecuting DUIIs in circuit court, providing more resources to the Astoria Police Department, and supporting the creation of a family health commission to address social issues. Over 20 years, the city has made a wise and visionary decision to preserve and restore its building stock. Let's do that with our lands.
Thank you. Mr. McCartan.
Good people of Ward 1 and all of Astoria, my name is George McCartan. I have lived at 490 Franklin Avenue in Astoria for the past 7 years and in Oregon for 22 years. My thanks to Patricia Garner, chair of the committee for the forum, and the American Association of University Women. Thanks also to the Daily Astorian, KMUN and KAST for their broadcast and recording of this event. This campaign for a seat on the City Council representing Ward 1 is not about me. It's about you. It's about your voice. Is it being heard in the council chambers? Do you have any information about the more important issues so that you can, in fact, raise your voice? It's about your money. It's about setting priorities for expenditures and necessities like a ladder fire truck, so that expenses that are needed like that are met before other optional large-scale projects. It's about having a budget that you can understand and that reflects transparency, accountability, and stewardship. It's about your environment, about reducing your carbon footprint, embracing alternate energy. It's about the environment of the whole city where we live and work and enjoy our leisure time. It's about working as a team to welcome diverse newcomers, reduce homelessness and hunger, provide facilities for the mentally ill, prevent domestic violence, foster businesses that provide living wages, jobs, and create truly affordable housing.
Thank you, Mr. McCartan. Ms. Nebluel?
Thank you. I'm Zeddy Nebluel. Thanks all for coming out tonight and participating in democracy. Thanks to the Maritime Museum for providing this wonderful space, to AAUW and the Daily Astorian for your sponsorship of this event. I'd also like to thank the man running against me, George McCartan, for his role in democracy. Competition can make us work harder and become stronger. My story: I was born in Astoria, an Astoria High and University of Oregon graduate. I majored in journalism and minored in Spanish. I worked in TV and radio news as a reporter and anchor. This is where I became interested in local politics. I learned how to ask tough questions and to talk to both sides. A real passion of mine was always business, and I started a business at Pier 39 called Coffee Girl. A long time ago, my stepmom got me a job as Coffee Girl there when it was a cannery. I married Chris Nemluel from Fort George Brewery, two young entrepreneurs with a love for Astoria and each other. We now have three kids, Amelia, Hudson, and Irene, who are listening and watching right now, so hi, kids. Eventually, I sold Coffee Girl. I am now marketing director of another wonderful business, Astoria Co-op Grocery. Between Fort George and the co-op, we employ more than 100 people with good jobs. I see what's possible with local economy that's in harmony with livability, and I want to explore more ways to extend that concept in the city. I have served on various citizen committees in the city and have been on the Astoria Planning Commission for 9 years and 3 years as president of the commission. I love Astoria, and I would like to do more to serve. I am Zeddy, and I am ready to be your city councilor.
I'm going to direct the first question to Mr. McCartan, and then we'll go to Ms. Nemluel and then Ms. Price. What should city plans be for the big hole downtown? We need parking. Mr. McCartan?
Well, first of all, we have to pass both the Environmental Protection Agency and the Oregon Department of Quality, because there are some elements left over from Safeway and other delights that populated that area. Once we do that, then we can proceed. And that, last night we were informed, will not be until spring. There are apparently some plans for that site that have not been revealed en masse just yet, and rightfully so, since you can't do anything with that until the approval comes through. Personally, I'd like to see the architectural plans and some substantial estimates of the price for implementing those plans, for putting those into execution. Because absent that, we're back to what I mentioned before, putting big projects probably ahead of necessities like a fire truck.
Thank you. Ms. Nemluel, before you begin, I just want to mention, in terms of the microphones, if you could just speak directly into them. I know going to the side or, you know, coming back, they lose it. And I know everyone wants to get all your words. So go ahead, Ms. Nemluel.
Thank you. A lot has been talked about for that site for many years. At one time, there was an extensive public input process, and the conclusion that we came to as a community was that that was going to be a mixed-use space, that there would be some open space, as there is now with the Chinese Park, but then also things such as commercial and housing. I think that's a great idea. I think we need a people bringer to the park. I don't necessarily see that space as being all open space. We have wonderful open spaces in Astoria. We don't want to extend the urban growth boundary, so let's densely develop in our city. I like the idea of housing, rental housing. That's a big issue in Astoria right now. Let's look at student housing for the college. If people live downtown, they're going to shop downtown. They're not going to need to get in their cars and drive. So I think there's a lot of potential for that site that we haven't tapped into yet, and we need to talk about it as a community again.
Cindy Price, and I would agree very much with what Zeddy has just said. We got a nice little presentation at the City Council last night which showed the second and perhaps third phases as being a broad open plaza sort of studded with trees. and it looked nice, but yes, the Downtown Association had Michelle Reeves, a building blocks grant that they did here in Astoria a couple of years ago, and Michelle Reeves said that the biggest driver of downtown vitality is housing. And this is a really perfect place where we don't have to worry about blocking other people's views because it is a downtown area, and a mixed use would be perfect, but we are going to have a longer and larger community conversation about fundraising, design fundraising timelines and all of that. And it will be spring of 2015 before we have DEQ ability to go ahead with pretty much any of that, I would think.
All right, Ms. Nemlowill, I'll start with you and then go to Cindy Price and George McCartan. So, in light of the mostly failed attempt to sell city-owned properties, what would you have done differently to make it more successful? Ms. Nemlowill.
That is something that I've never dealt with on the Planning Commission before. I have to say that's something that I need to learn about, but it seemed like a little bit more than people were ready to bite off. It all seemed to happen pretty fast. Well, the city might have had some good reasons for wanting to sell this property. I don't think that the citizens should ever be concerned that a large amount of the city is up for grabs.
Cindy Price, yes, it was the sale of excess lands that started me going to the city council meetings sort of September of last year. And I didn't quite finish with my opening statement, but I do think that since we had this great vision of preserving and enhancing our building stock, that we should and could have the same sort of vision now with our public lands. Let's look at the 1,300 pieces of property that the city owns, and what does the county own that's within the city limits? And let's have perhaps an ad hoc commission that takes a year that looks at these pieces of property. What is their best uses? What can we preserve? What should we preserve? What should we have a nonprofit organization that is like a land preserve that you can then builders can lease the land from the city? It makes for more affordable housing since the developers don't have to buy the land. There are many uses. What can we sell that would be developed responsibly that people would be happy with that would put some money into the coffers? It's a long-term thing, not that long, 6 months to a year, and I think we could really set ourselves up well for the future.
Mr. McCartan?
Well, that's probably what Cindy said. If that would have been followed in the first place, ab initio, as it were, on the sales of the property, it might still be alive and well today. But as it was just heaped out there, and people eventually found out about it, didn't like what they were seeing, especially because the places were being sold way lower than the appraised value of, say, empty land next door. I went to just about each and every one of those sales, and I took pictures of the places that were up for sale. I asked the counselors if they had seen those. Most of them had never seen them or checked them out. And time and again, I reminded the council of their fiduciary responsibilities, and time and again, of course, they continued on. When I saw that it wasn't going to stop anytime soon, I suggested that at least for every sale, that they at least reserve and put a covenant in the deed so that it could be only gardens or tree places or whatever that the people said they were going to use them for, even when the people went ahead and sold them or their heirs came along to inherit them. That was not accepted either. And the program eventually just fell apart.
Thank you. For this next round, we'll start with Ms. Price, go to Mr. McCartan and Ms. Nemlowill. Please describe what you believe to be the appropriate relationship between the city and the Port of Astoria. In two words or less.
Cindy Price. Well, I certainly think that the relationship should not include including the port's master plan, which it doesn't have and perhaps may never have, into the riverfront vision plan. That, to me, is a tremendous burden on our volunteer planning commission, for which these things will come through, and the people, the citizens who will be active in that. And by the way, you know, it is said that one can appeal decisions, but it costs money. I didn't look up how much it costs to appeal a planning decision, commission decision, but it's $250 for a historic landmark, so I imagine it's more. A plan afoot that would perhaps give control of the port more to the state. I don't know that that's a good idea. We have a hard enough time with local control. I think we need to dig deep into democracy again, ask the mayors who say that they know of candidates who would be good stewards of the port to bring those ports forward to run for election here in Clatsop County, and leave it at that.
Mr. McCartan?
George McCartan. The difficulty here is there are two separate, fully under their own rules, agencies. There's the city council and there is the port. I'm a great believer in consensus, working for a consensus, but after seeing what went on lately with the Planning Commission, even though I think I'm somewhat talented in leading people to consensus, I'm not quite sure that would work in this case. The port has taken the position, we want to do what we want to do with our area, and it seems to me they couldn't care less about anything called the Riverwalk, or the impact of what they will do and what they've now essentially been given an open door to do, and that is all kinds of things like a convention center or a mall out on piers without any worry about tsunamis or anything else. But somehow or other, we do have to probably sit down and try to work something out. Whether that'll ever happen, I can't say. I would never, ever predict or bet on it.
Ms. Nemlowell?
Well, I think that there's definitely good things that the Port of Astoria is doing right now for economic development. I think there's a lot of employment land opportunities in the city that is on port property. I have been a little bit frustrated with the port lately. You know, the Planning Commission has been working on implementing the Civic Greenway portion of the Riverfront Vision Plan for the last year. There's some good things about that. There will be no overwater development from the Maritime Museum to the East Mooring Basin. I don't agree with the provision, the overlay zone for the master plan that the City Council adopted. I don't agree with the port partnering with a private developer to fight a public document that is the Riverfront Vision Plan. Right now, the city does not have a proactive role with the port, and I think that we need to have a more proactive role. We need to reestablish a relationship with the Port of Astoria. What form that's going to take right now is something I'm not quite sure, but we need to explore that. I want to see how the new port director does. Maybe things are going to get better at the port. For better or worse, though, I think that we need to have a relationship. And I think it's important. It's one of the most important things for economic development in Astoria.
I think, have we finished the round there? all right, the next round, Mr. McCartan, you first, and then Ms. Nemlowell, and then Ms. Price. So, Mr. McCartan, do candidates for council City Council support continuing to fight our recently reelected district of attorney over DUIIs or sit down and try to work it out?
I don't think there's, I think we're beyond the point of working it out. You people have paid over $40,000 simply to handle the appeals part, which is still going on, of this so-called controversy. There should be one place where a person who's a drunk driver, even on their first offense, goes, and that should be the circuit court. There is no, this idea of handling the people with kid gloves on their first offense and so forth. Unfortunately, the rate of conviction doesn't hold up too well. They continually drive and they continually get convicted. The fact is, if the person is getting a first offense, our district attorney is quite capable of sending them on to what's called a diversion program. And if they fulfill that, then they're out and they're fine. And they can keep driving without any difficulties, unless they do it again.
Ms. Nemlowell?
Well, in addition to reading about this in the newspaper and hearing about it on the radio, I sat down and talked with the district attorney, Josh Marquis, as well as Willis Van Dusen, to learn a little bit more about the issue. And there are definitely two sides. I'm not convinced that municipal court is a dark hole of justice. There's two sides to that. But I do think that the city has spent too much time and money fighting this. I think that it's time that we move on. And if the district attorney wants to take those extra cases, let's let him have them. But frankly, it's in an appeals court right now. So how this is going to come into play at the city council, I'm not sure yet. We'll see.
Ms. Price?
So the appeals court decision is really doesn't say who can do what. It just is. I'm for best practices. And circuit court, you know who does what every day from morning to night. And I think that's what we should be doing, sending them there.
Ms. Nemlowell, Mr. McCartan, and Ms. Price, how will you encourage or incorporate young people to take on more leadership roles in Astoria?
Well, I'm going to run for city council, and I'm going to let my 2-year-old and my 5-year-old and my 6-year-old participate and learn at an early age what democracy is. I'm going to tell my friends what's happening at the city, my friends who have kids. I'm going to encourage them to participate. It's tough, though, you know. If you're young and, you know, you're just starting out and trying to survive, or if you've got little ones and you're trying to take care of them, you know, I think participating in what's happening with the city is definitely a big sacrifice of time. You know, we prioritize how we spend our time. But besides my kids and my family, I can't think of anything more important. I don't think that there's anyone else who could be better at encouraging young people to get involved right now who's running for city council.
Mr. McCartan?
I believe that one of the things we have to do with young people to get them back on track, as it were, to become participatory citizens in our democracy, is to show them that government entities like the City Council is truly interested in them, and it is offering something for them to begin with. The people I've been meeting over the past few weeks many times indicate they don't feel there is enough nighttime activities, weekend activities, for young people, that we could be doing better. And certainly the council has the opportunity with the new facility of the Armory, for example, to improve on this and work. The city's recreation department is doing very well, I believe, in making tremendous improvements in daytime activities. What they have to do now is try to find people to volunteer and work with them for evening and weekends. And people point out, of course, that that might save some of our young people from drinking and drugging. That's the one way to go, and hopefully that would encourage, you could, in those situations, encourage them to run for office, to be involved in the city council meetings from time to time.
Thank you. Ms. Price?
It's really hard. All the organizations that I have been and am still involved with here in Astoria have a really hard time getting young people of any age from high school on up into their mid-30s. It's a really hard group to get, even at our beloved, precious gem of a Coast radio, community radio station, where you can go and be the most creative thing on the planet. You can create the next This American Life and become famous. And it is hard to get people in there. But I went to the Harbors 5K run this past Saturday morning, and the Astoria High School track team was there and the football team. And the reason they were there was because they had been asked to come. And so I think that's part of it, is just asking. So we could do things on the city council like student days with the high school and the college. And I don't really know how to reach out to 25, 35-year-olds. They're very, very busy with children and families. We just have to keep asking and act like it's a little bit fun and that people would want to be there.
All right, this will be the last question before closing statements. I'll direct the question first to Mr. McCartan, then Ms. Price, then Ms. Nemlowill. Of what significance is it that city council members are elected by ward? Mr. McCartan.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Of what significance? I think it's a big significance. It's important, I think, for the various segments of the city to be represented, to be especially represented by one person. Ward 1 is, our largest ward and is certainly our oldest. That area was founded early on by the Finns, who brought us, who brought great trade in the fishing industry and in the fishing cannery industry. And we should carry on in that same way by being down with the people all the time, having meetings with the people all the time, periodically, listening to them. Their thoughts on what their needs are sometimes very different than what we think the city as a whole needs. For example, some really bad holes need to be filled in some of the streets in Ward 1. And we need to continually keep in touch with them and do a dialogue, encounter our people and do a dialogue with them to make these determinations and make sure that they know they're involved and that they can come to us with their problems, even if they think they're insignificant, that they feel free and open enough, or they feel that we're open enough for them to come and speak to us and express their hopes and desires for their place.
Thank you. Ms. Price?
I'm not really sure. No one has expressed this to me. I know a number of people on my walkabouts who have said that they're very happy to hear that I'll be holding monthly meetings, that they have not felt that they could communicate well with their own counselor. And you hear that throughout wards. I really think that the main benefit is to the people who are running, because it makes a district that you can deal with easily. There are like 1,200 voters in what I think of as the filet of Astoria, Ward 3, right down the middle. And it's easy to walk. I can go and get to know each and every person who lives in that district if they're willing to open the door and talk to me. And it makes campaigning a little cheaper and easier. But As I have heard Zeddy say, and I take this, I think this is a really clear way of saying it, and I'm sorry to steal it from you, but Zeddy has said, we are elected by wards, but when we're in office, we represent everyone.
Thank you.
I've found in campaigning that most people in the city don't know which ward they live in. I think the people in this room probably do. You know, you guys are out here meeting the candidates, and that has helped inform you. I live in Ward 1, and that's kind of the western portion of the city. And running for a ward race has made me take a closer look at Ward 1, at places beyond just where I commute to and from home or take the kids to the bus or down to the park every day. I was just putting up some campaign signs yesterday on Alameda, and my kids discovered a park there that we'd never been to. I'm from Astoria, and I'd never played at that park before. It's got a beautiful view of the bridge there and the waterfront, the cannery pier in view. And it got me thinking, wow, I wonder if this park is a candidate for the chip-in project. Looks like it could use a little bit of love. So I've definitely been spending more time in all parts of Ward 1 than I ever have before. So I think that's significant for me.
All right. We're going to go to closing statements here. We'll do Ms. Price, Mr. McCartan, and Ms. Nemlowell. Afterwards, why don't we take a 5-minute break so we can get the mayor's candidates up? And because we don't have a lot of time, I would suggest, you know, brief 5-minute break. All right, Ms. Price.
Well, thank you again for coming tonight. I am running unopposed. I was not unopposed when I entered the race. And I know that there are people, even elected officials, who will skip right over a ballot and not take the time to mark the oval in an unopposed race. But I ask you to take that time, because I would like to go into office with a mandate and then renew it every meeting that I go to and every vote that I'm asked to make. I will just keep it really brief. I hope to meet with any of you, especially from Ward 3. I'll be holding a meet and greet next Thursday, October 16th, at CALA, 1017 Marine Drive, and I invite any of you to come. I have a website, electcindyprice.com. There's a lot of information there. And please, I invite your questions and comments and suggestions. My email is electcindyprice@gmail.com, and thank you again for coming.
Mr. McCartan?
The past decades have seen some fine accomplishments in the city of Astoria. But as the city progressed, it also gave up input from the people. In the end, the city itself was controlled almost exclusively by one man and a group of beneficiaries. A prudent voter might want to avoid electing anyone associated with this group and its leader. For 35 years, I worked with boards, different groups, and individuals with extreme differences. An effort was made to overcome disagreements by leading others to recognize that their self-interest and their interest in the community were best served by reaching a consensus. This is my intention to vigorously apply the consensus principles and methods if I'm elected to the City Council. Good people of Ward 1, let's work together as a team to get the job done. Let's work together to accomplish improvements in Ward 1. We want to make sure our voices are heard, the people's money is spent judiciously and scrupulously accounted for. Finally, we need to volunteer and join various local agencies to make the municipal government better. If you elect me as your counselor, we will move forward together in a positive manner and improve the living conditions of everyone in Astoria. Let's keep in touch. Let's make georgeforastoria.com a permanent website. Thank you.
Ms. Nemlowell.
Well, I have a passion for Astoria, and I would be proud to serve as your city councilor. Like any role, We need experience before moving up the ladder. This is the difference between George McCartan and me. I feel I am better qualified. I have done the work to prepare, serving on many citizen committees for the city, as well as the Planning Commission for 9 years. I have been president of that commission for 3 years. The commission has gone through one of the most difficult land use debates the city has seen in recent years, the Riverfront Vision Plan. The outcome so far includes a blue way from the Maritime Museum to the East Mooring Basin that will always be protected for views. Furthermore, with little ones, I have my eye on the future of our city to make it a better place for them. I represent a demographic that is not currently represented on City Council. Working professionals with school-age children have a certain perspective on day-to-day life that my opponent does not have. Through my experiences, I understand the needs of families and businesses. I'm good at learning and working with others. I feel that I am the candidate who is more in touch with the citizens and more qualified to be your city councilor, and I ask for your vote in November.
Thank you, candidates. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
5 minutes. All right, 5 minutes.